I have here disappearing dog do.
That sounds good already.
It's called Ash Poopy. It's a pooper scooper with a difference.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So I have a little piece of Hey You Didn't Know It here. We're always looking for just news of the oblivious living among us.
Oh, yes.
So this is a thing that we found. The title is, Why Only Yuppies Feel Busy, an Economic Theory. So they're coming on like this is some real shit here. They've used a colon.
So, okay.
It says, University of Texas economists agree that those who can afford to do everything are stressed because they never have all the time to do it.
Yeah. Poor guys.
There's violins playing in the background. First of all, yuppie is an incendiary term. I can't even believe we're still using yuppie in 2012. And it's anyway, so it says here, the talk is about busyness. B-U-Z-Y-ness. Busyness. Yeah. And it says here, I'm inclined to believe that busyness is a sincere problem, especially in the case of professionals who would like to just see their children once in a blue moon. But late last week, I stumbled onto a research paper that added a new wrinkle for the issue. And the research paper is titled, Stressed Out on Four Continents, Time Crunch or Yuppie Kvetch? I'm like, this is a research paper? There's nothing left. They've researched everything. And this is what they have left.
And this guy's got his head in his hands.
Yeah.
And he has a tie on.
He doesn't know what to do. He's got so much money. He doesn't know what to
do. So little time.
It just makes me think of the other day I was getting my nails done in my neighborhood. The woman next to me said, I can't complain. Who would listen?
Yeah.
I'm like, just complain. You already did. So anything, it says, across the world, it seems, wealthier people are much more likely to complain, or kvetch, if you will, about being busy than poor people.
How much money do you have to actually kvetch rather than complain? Where's the dollar?
I feel like you need to be in the top 5%, so that's what, like $200,000 for a couple?
Okay.
Before you can actually kvetch.
Okay.
Everyone else, just murmuring complaints.
And grumbling.
Yeah. If you increase a husband's income, his wife begins to feel busier and therefore kvetch or complain. I guess with all that money to spend, she must not have much time.
But the thing is, you spend your money and you do the time saver things, like you have someone clean your house, run your errands,
They address that as well. They said, look, a nurse and a Google engineer might work the same hours, but the engineer can afford to have a babysitter and a maid. It's nice in theory, but it only makes a little difference because you can't pay someone to sleep for you. You can't pay someone to read Proust for you or go to the opera.
You
or
know
the
what they're doing with their Proust.
Yeah, or go to a ball game. So, and that's where it becomes, you know, an issue, is that there are things that people want to do.
Oh,
I don't have enough time to
do the fun things,
yeah,
even.
To go over Hamlet a third time.
Well, you know what? If you can't do that, you can hire Hey You Know It to go have fun for you.
Read your existential novels. We will watch your Woody Allen movies.
And we'll condense it for you.
Yeah, we will go see La Traviata. We'll sit in the front row.
Yeah.
If we have to help you be less busy. We're dedicated to you. So it says here, we all live on two things, time and money. But for rich people, the hours seem more valuable. Now, how rude
is
this?
They're more worthy.
Yeah. Poor people just fritter their time away because they don't care. They're poor.
Yeah.
They got nothing.
It's not worth it.
It doesn't mean anything to them at all. It says, while the poor are less likely to complain about a lack of time, they're much more to complain about a lack of money.
Well, you know, if you don't have anything to eat, yeah, that's the first thing you're going to go.
If you're sitting in the dark. Because you couldn't afford your electric bill. I am thrilled that people are finally drawing attention to the plight of the wealthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Without these surveys, without these studies, we wouldn't know that rich people are just so harried and so busy that they don't have time.
Right.
You know, to enjoy their Maserati and play tennis on the weekends.
I feel bad for them.
They didn't know about this before? They had to do a study to get onto this. Are you kidding me, people? We should defund universities that do this. This is a bunch of bullshit. And finally, it says, should we feel guilty about our kvetching?
Better.
Being busy is a nice problem to afford.
Exactly.
People, if you didn't know it, rich people are stressed. They have so much money, and so many things that they like to do because they are rich, but they just don't have enough time.
And
you
it's
need
sad.
To help. If you see a rich person, help them out. Do something for them. Clean their house.
Yeah,
scrub their toilet.
Right.
Rub their feet. Do things. You
that
know.
Would be nice. It would make the world a better place.
It would for rich people. We don't want them to be upset. What a bunch of crap.
Oh, my God.
So what have you?
I have here some advice. Now, again, I went back in time, mm-hmm. and I found the Amy Vanderbilt Success Program for Women.
Oh, I love this.
This is a series of books from the 1950s, mm-hmm. And they're each dedicated to a topic, and this one is how to develop poise and self-confidence.
Okay.
And the pictures
there's
are
some very snooty, fancy women on the cover. There's one picture where it looks like a threesome is going to happen.
Right. These two guys are looking admiringly at down her shirt.
Yeah. While she's holding a cup of tea and looking to the side.
And then there's another one who's looking straight into the camera.
Yeah.
And there's an older silver fox coming up on her from
That's
behind.
That's interesting. I guess this is pre-cougar.
Yeah. So this is how to develop poise and confidence. And there's pages and pages of tips, and I'll just bring a few of them to you. Your body, your hair, your teeth, your clothing, especially your underclothing, must be absolutely clean, she said, adding with a wicked smile, clean enough to smell nice if anybody should be so inclined.
Really? I mean, they're quite saucy back then. they should have told the women who were going aboard ships without panties about this one.
I know.
This is what they needed.
Right. The small things that count. I know a quite beautiful woman, university professor, who never manages to look as attractive as she could because she persists in believing that navy blue is almost black.
What a bitch.
And therefore, a slight mismatching of shoes and gloves will not matter. Of course it matters.
I was always told
it matters.
If you wear black and blue, you look like a bruise. That's how I remember it.
It matters.
It matters a lot.
Yeah. She would never, for a moment, allow her students to get away with such sloppy reasoning, nor indulge it in herself in the classroom. She's sensitive enough to perceive that something is amiss, and it ruffles her poise on important occasions.
How much you want to bet this woman is in science, and that's why they're having a go at her.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
She's like a chemist.
They found just blue and black she puts together, and therefore it
takes
her
down.
Of
all the fashion faux pas you could make, people. That's the one.
A friend pointed out that a synchronization of accessories would transform her appearance and her inner feeling.
This sounds like the 60s. This is the part in Mad Men where they're supposed to, like, examine their feelings and look inward.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, it's not a book per se, but it's more than a pamphlet. It's like a good 40 pages, 50 pages of how to behave.
This is about your hair. A simple matter of 15 extra minutes to get ready for a party can make the difference between a radiant poise and a patchwork of dissatisfaction.
It's very dramatic.
If you have to comb your hair out before it is dry, it is plainly not going to hold its shape very long. And a constant poking at your unruly locks is guaranteed to undermine your composure. If it happens, mold it into place with a veil.
Wow.
Or brush the hair into as good a shape as you can. Tie it or pin it back if necessary. And then don't touch it. Even if you have to sit on your hands.
Is it that? See, this is why women were going crazy back then. And by the 60s, they were burning bras and taking pills. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Sit on your hands? This is why they were going hysterical.
Yeah, it says this leads to another secret of good grooming. Indeed, it's all of poise. It requires energy. It is easier to jog along an old grove, but mental and physical laziness is the enemy of confidence.
You see, this is, I mean, when was this printed in the 50s?
Yeah.
It's amazing to me because they're constantly trying to make this kind of a suburban model of a woman.
Right.
And look how much effort it takes. I mean, you've got to read, this is just one book in a series on how to be this kind of middle class, perfect woman. And no one could ever achieve this. There's just not enough time in the
day. No, there's not enough. You had to do it.
Yeah.
Sit on your hands, woman.
And I'm sure, like, men would probably tell you about it. You know, other women would probably tell you about it. You probably had an internal dialogue in your head about it. What a nightmare. I am so glad now that we don't have to do any of this stuff. I can't even tell you. It is elective. Obviously, because you see what's going on the A train. Like, some people just don't give an F. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it doesn't matter. You know? Oh, it doesn't matter. I saw some, you know, Fashion Week closed. I don't know if you were aware of Fashion Week.
I marginally.
And I went online and I looked at some of the makeup and I thought, okay, either they've gone buck wild or I'm getting old and I'm out of touch. It looked like some of the women had been beaten.
Right. Well, that's supposed to be attractive then. Look at like a
raccoon eyes.
Beaten woman.
Yeah. Like just bizarre.
Like when Heroin Chic was in.
But this isn't, I don't know what this is.
I know it's, but it's like that kind of thing, like evocative of.
There was one fashion show I saw where the women were dressed so foolishly that they should have gotten out of a clown car.
Yeah.
And going onto the runway. Then it was like big shoes and everything.
Oh my God.
It was a mess. And I was like, that's the other side of this. No, but the good thing about that kind of fashion is no one is going to try to conform to that.
Right.
No one actually wants to look like Bozo the clown who's in a bad relationship with another clown.
Right.
Like, no one is interested in that look.
Right.
You know? I saw another thing for men. It was a suit in the shape, the jacket was in the shape of a linebacker.
Oh.
So, like, very, I mean, maybe like 4 or 5 feet across at the shoulders.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
God.
You were thinking, like, you know, just a couple of a little extra padding at the top. No, it was a full friggin' Monty. And I'm like, well, that's good to see that fashion hates men, too.
Yeah, right? They're coming under fire
yep,
now, too.
Everybody's
Give
under the radar.
Give us some breathing room.
Wow.
I have some unpopular science and mechanics.
This doesn't injure them. Can we address that, please?
All right. Before we go into there... I found this little
tidbit.
Bit of weird news. Dozens injured in orange tossing event. What is the best food to fight with? And it just says here, in Italy,
Wait, how did they transition from one thing to the... Okay,
yeah, they started joking around right in the title.
Yeah.
Right off with
it's
the
always with comedy. Whatever happened to just the who, what, where, when, and what, you know, just the basic journalism.
Authorities in Italy said 165 people were injured in the Battle of the Oranges, an event that saw nearly 35,000 people flinging citrus. Emergency responders said
35,000?
Yeah, that's not a lot of people getting hurt for an orange tossing.
Only in America, we're like, that's
not bad.
Yeah.
152 people were treated Monday at medical stations during the event, which commemorates the throwing of stones during an uprising against a local tyrant several centuries ago.
Mm-hmm. Did they forget to just not throw it at the tyrant or whatever the effigy of the tyrant
right.
was?
Right. Yeah. Or maybe there were so
they
many people
flinging
that they
at
just,
each other.
They just didn't have that reach with their arm. You know, they don't have the guns. I don't know what the term is with throwing things, like when you have a
I think it's
stone
guns. I don't understand why there weren't more injuries. I mean, this is a recreation of a stoning. How did it, first of all, why? Second of all, how did it become oranges? And third of all, why wasn't it just like a massacre?
And why didn't they use Nerf? You know what I mean? Really?
If you're gonna have still a, because you can't throw a Nerf. Have you ever tried to throw a Nerf?
A Nerf ball?
Yeah, it doesn't go very far.
It doesn't matter. It's not gonna hurt anyone. And like an orange is gonna go further.
We're trying to recreate a stoning.
All right.
We need something with a little more. That, you know, that gravity is going to have more of an effect than a Nerf.
Okay.
I hated Nerf as a kid. I was like, this is just clearly a sponge. I'm just going to use a sponge to wipe off my chalkboard. That's what I use it for. Because I was like, this is worse than a wiffle ball.
It's ridiculous.
Do you remember those? Who cares?
What do you think I am? Like, you're telling me. You're like, I'm a child. I know it. But you're telling me I'm less than a child.
Yeah.
Giving me a Nerf.
Or a wiffle ball. A ball with holes in it.
Yeah.
That just makes
that
a noise.
You should put them in water. Sink them.
An angry Katie Kazmir.
Die.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Anyway, back over to our unpopular science and mechanics.
Okay, great.
Here is top weird science stories from Israel.
Okay. Why Israel?
Why not?
Is it? I mean, not why?
Well, these are just coming out of Israel today, so we're just going to give them credit for, like, they're making these advances.
They're weird science.
Yeah. And this is an invention called Cup and Up. It is an internal bra, Zier. So instead of getting implants, breast implants, you get a internal bra.
How? Where?
Surgically. They go in and they surgically put a bra under your skin to lift it all up.
The whole bra?
To reshape, support, and lift breast tissue in a much more minimally invasive manner than cosmetic breast surgery.
I mean, I I guess.
The procedure requires two small incisions through which the device is attached to the ribs.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay, I'm having a really hard time imagining this. I'm just thinking about Alien. I don't know why.
All women are looking for the right bra that will hold their breasts in a position they like or prefer aesthetically.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking of a harness. This is not me.
Yeah.
Created from materials used in medicine, silicone threads, and a very small anchoring screw.
Oh!
We could support breast tissue and avoid further breast sagging. So you got the real ones going, but they're up.
You know what? It's not that important.
No.
It's really not.
How would you feel mentally if you had a bra under your skin?
I'm grossed out by you saying that I might have to feel about some way about that. That's horrifying. What is wrong with just wearing a bra or getting a lift?
Yeah.
What?
Or just letting them go.
Yeah, who cares?
Nobody cares.
No, you know what? If you find a guy out there who cares that much, you need to give him a kick in the chops out of your bed. They don't care.
Yeah.
And surgically, you got me at rib screws. Is that what you said? That they were anchored to my ribs?
Yeah, with a small screw. And then the rest is silicone.
Woo, that's not right.
Mm-mm.
Israel, really?
Yeah.
That's weird. What's happening in Israel? The women there are just like, it's hot. Maybe this is hot.
Maybe.
You know?
You know, or they just don't want the regular, the implant look. They don't like that look anymore.
So they want their own floppy boobs.
Well, we all know
that. Hoisted up.
Right. And we know the history of plastic surgery, you and I do.
Yeah.
Because we wrote about it.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Scholars.
Yes. And we know that there were facelifts that pulled the skin back. And your face was tight and you pulled it back. And now.
With a slip knot behind the ear.
And now it's more the 3D thing where you puff out the cheeks, you do this and that, and it looks more 3D. So this is, I guess, the advance in boobs.
I just don't feel like screwing something into your rib is a good solution.
No, I don't think so either. But, hey.
What else we have?
I have here disappearing dog do.
That sounds good already.
It's called ash poopy.
Wait a minute. Are we feeding our dog something weird here?
No. It's a pooper scooper with a difference. it gathers the dog droppings and turns them into odorless, sterile ash within seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dog walker has to do is push a button to release the activation capsules from the cartridge inside the unit.
Mm-hmm.
And with 75 million dogs in the U.S. and the same in Europe, this is maybe a good idea. But then it made me think, I was like, what does that remind me of? Didn't somebody try to do this? And then the movie Envy from 2004 with Ben Stiller and Jack Black was about Jack Black inventing Vaporizer. It was a spray.
And it was a joke.
Yeah, you sprayed it on and it disappeared. It vaporized poo.
So this poo.
And he made a ton of money.
Turns the ash.
Yeah.
And then what blows away?
Yep. I guess
in
so.
Your face.
Well, I mean, maybe you can. Maybe it just sucks it up too. It's almost like a. It comes down over it. Maybe it turns it to ash and sucks it away.
And it's called ash poopy.
It's ash poopy. Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna have to work on that name.
But they have to think about this because in the movie, they better, you know, the vaporizer. Mm-hmm. You know, the poo was vaporized and it turned to poison and it seeped into the ground, and it poisoned the apples. Anyway.
Hopefully that's not going to happen.
I know. So they better use that as a cautionary tale, this movie.
We should tell them. Has Israel seen this film? Has it been translated into Hebrew?
Know.
It's very important.
I don't know. But if not, they can always move on to pocket flan, which is what the next invention was.
Oh, God.
Never mind. And then finally, I kind of like this. It was a wrinkle-reducing pillowcase, but for your face.
How does it work?
When you sweat at night. The perspiration from your skin releases copper ions from the case, which stimulate the production of collagen, which helps reduce fine lines and wrinkles.
That's weird.
Right.
Yeah, see, I'm not all, like, when there's chemical reactions going on, I'm a little,
especially when you're sleeping.
Yeah, it's weird.
And then other products that the same company makes include bath towels that don't retain odors.
Mm-hmm.
A self-sterilizing makeup brush set, which is useless.
Now, keep in mind, a bath towel is still filthy, people.
I know.
It just doesn't, you can't tell.
Yeah. A sock that fights athlete's foot, and wait a minute, a sock that is already used by the Israeli Defense Force that doesn't have to be washed. I got news for you. It does.
Yeah. Every sock needs to be washed. In fact, anything near a foot
needs to
be washed at some point. Cleaned in some way. A sock that doesn't need to be washed? Is that a problem for the defense forces over there?
I guess so. I guess the Israelis, they find it to be difficult.
It's hot, once again.
It's hot, and then, you know, you get all those germies in there, and they're just,
Yeah.
I say germies?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking armies. And then I said,
That's
weird. I didn't mean to say it like that. Like,
a sock that doesn't need to be washed?
No, that's, I don't know.
No. It could be a sock that you prefer not to wash. Some people don't wash their socks, but like every sock needs to be washed.
Socks really get funky super fast.
Ugh,
nasty.
Gross. I know anyway. You prefer the foot to be free.
Foot, yeah. My feet are free and clean.
Are you still wearing flip-flops? Or is
you
that
have
just...
to ask. It's right here.
We'll be 6 inches of snow. Katie won't care.
I know. I won't.
She will have a platform flip-flop that that will work.
Yeah.
I respect that. I'm just always cold.
Yeah.
I'm always cold. I'm working in an office now where I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm writing up, you know, about clothing samples, and I'm wearing half the stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were looking for a piece today. They're like, have you seen this sweater? I'm like, I have it on.
What about the baby? You did a children's line.
Yeah, well, you have to get clever with those, and you have to fashion something hooking them together.
Oh, okay.
But I can make a skirt out of a couple of onesies, if that's what you're asking. I can make some kind of a hoodie out of a couple pairs of children's jeans with the expandable waistband. It can happen.
I believe you.
You got to do what you have to do.
Of course.
Some of these offices are freezing. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I have here some dating relationship advice.
Oh, God. More advice. All right.
I know. There's so many things. I mean, people need help, and we're here to help.
Yeah, we are here to help.
Basically, how to get rid of your date.
Well, let me just... Have you ever had this situation before? Because whenever I've been in a bad date, I just get up and leave. Like,
yeah.
That has always been my, excuse me, I have to go. What do you mean? I mean, I'm leaving this date.
Right.
So
if you want to ruin it, if you decide that you don't want to actually be honest and get up and go.
Yeah, this is what this
is for. You need to.
I hope to have a friend call you.
Well, also, I mean, I don't think you want to be there in the first place, according to this advice. It says arrive late.
Okay,
so you need to know ahead of time you don't even want to be there.
I would say arrive so late that the date's over. No one is going to wait that long. How long would you wait on a date? 20 minutes?
20 minutes is the rule of thumb. 20 minutes for anything without a phone call.
Yeah, especially nowadays.
Immediately address the issue. When you show up, finally, it don't address your lack of punctuality. Immediately dismiss the issue and just say, and? with an attitude like a teenager.
That should be the end of the day. Anyone who doesn't leave. Actually, no. If I show up late for a date and I'm like, and the dude doesn't leave, I'm like, I'm ordering lobster and steak and a bottle of Dom.
And
this
then I'm crawling out the bathroom window.
Yeah,
that's it.
With it.
Pay no attention to your appearance. Don't shower, shave, clean your teeth, or use any scented product.
Just come in natural.
Wear your oldest and least flattering, preferably unclean clothes. Why are you doing this?
This is
too
much.
Why are you showing up like that?
Like a pig pen.
Don't go.
Yeah. This is for people who cannot, they got to be passive about it.
Passive aggressive. Abandon your manners. I think we already.
Yeah.
Don't say please or thank you, sorry. That does mean swearing, interrupting, scratching, or playing appropriately with your intimate parts. Ew.
Huh? Just whip it out of the table.
Pick your nose, ears, and eat what you find. Oh, that's disgusting.
Wow.
Why would you do this? And then you run into that person 6 months later at a function.
And he's told, or he or she
everybody.
Has told everybody how you ate what was in your ear after you came in 20 minutes late, smelling like a hamper.
Oh, talk absolute rubbish. You know, just BS. Talk out of it. We're fine.
That may not phase anybody. Yeah. You got to be.
Visit the bathroom or go outside a lot. Just keep getting up from the table and going
somewhere. You're like a junkie.
Right. And even if they politely ask, is everything okay, get defensive and ask them if they're always this nosy.
Yeah, why are you up in my piece?
Get your
or
phone out.
Who wants to know?
Right.
I always. I love it when you ask someone who wants to know. Well, I mean, I want to know.
I'm asking you.
I'm not doing it on at the behest of, parties unknown.
I'm. By the way, I'm here secretly interviewing you for the other guy. Get your phone out, which people do all the time anyway. They
that would be hard to detect nowadays. And I have to say, I find a lot of my peers doing this, and I'm like, you're too old for that.
Too,
put your
fucking
phone away. Who are you texting?
Another thing, have a wandering eye. Look around constantly. Wink at other people if you dare. Hello.
Can you imagine? When's the last time someone winked at someone? 1977?
And then avoid looking at your date in the eye. look above their head. I don't know.
A foot above them the whole time.
Get drunk, which isn't a bad thing.
No. Yeah. And you know what? Get drunk might lead to a second date if you're not careful. Right?
And also, if you decide you'd like them, then at least it's an excuse for your bad behavior that I just
remember. Oh, nice. Is that your addition or is that?
That's me. Okay. Yeah. I just put that.
I'm like, that's a good piece of advice. Clearly, it's not on there already.
Yeah. Insult your date.
You cad. Tut. Tut.
Yeah. So here's a few other ways you can be too nervous.
There's a picture of a guy passed out at the table.
Right. Oh, yeah. With a drink in his hand.
And you know, when someone passes out, like, there's only one thing you can do is look through their pockets for loose change. Like,
and this girl's looking at him. She's got her head. She's leaning on her fist like, what?
Why did you stay? Cut out. Cut and run.
Talk about past dates. Be too aggressive. No, that's going to end you up in jail.
Yeah.
Discuss your money problems.
Or bed, depending on what's going on.
Right.
Ooh. Discuss your money problems.
Guess what? I can't pay for this dinner. And now it's your problem.
I've never had a bad date like that before because I didn't do a lot of like proper formal dates, you know?
Right. There was nothing wrong with this, but it's just me.
Getting personal.
The guy, we went out and he gave me like the wandering person with the flowers, like sells roses, the single roses. And he gave me one and then I was like, I got to hold this. It was totally nice, and that was me at the time. This was years and years ago.
I thought this was
going
to be something horrifying. Like,
it's not horrifying.
So he bought you a rose, and you were annoyed.
Then I was awkward. Then I was awkward because I was being too nervous, I think, which is number two on the list.
With the one rose. Where
are you going to walk around with a rose?
No, I'm not.
On the streets of New York
City. And those roses are usually the worst roses. Yeah, they're like the tired Tuesday rose.
No, so I got nervous. I was like, I got this rose.
Do you fling it? Ah! It's like, what the hell?
I know. I don't want to.
He probably went back and told his buddies. It's like, dude, it said in the magazine to buy this bitch a rose. I got it for her. She gets all awkward. Flings it.
It's just like, I didn't know. I'm like, am I supposed to? Like, I was young.
So this wasn't.
But I do remember how that was me being a bad date.
I remember sitting through a date with a guy that could only be described as nebbishy.
Uh-huh.
And he seemed to enjoy the date. And I was just trying to be pleasant. And the date was over. And he was like, I would like to see you again. And
so polite.
My filter was off. Because the little comic in me was like, well, I don't. I mean, it was just,
well,
I'd like to see you again. I would not like that. And I just felt absolutely awful. But the sweater vest, it was a sweater vest
God.
That did it.
And there was nothing wrong with him.
There was something wrong with him. I wasn't feeling it.
He wasn't on this list.
He didn't do any of those things.
He was just a good date, but there was no chemistry.
Gentlemen, sweater vests, no. Don't do a sweater vest.
I like a sweater vest.
You do?
I don't mind.
It killed it for me. It was like a fair isle knit.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Oh,
it
if it's not a nice one.
Fitted.
Okay.
It wasn't professorial in any sense of the word. And it was just, in addition, he was balding and not just bald. Because bald is fine. Make it a choice. Do what you have to do. But balding, there's no wispiness. There's no combing. Yeah. There's nothing you can do, fellas.
I don't know. I don't care. Because, like, if you're, you know, that's the guy going through his thing. I don't know.
Just cut it. You know? Just cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or get a piece. Get a piece.
Get a piece.
Throw a piece up there. We've advocated putting a rug up there before. I don't have a problem with it. Nicolas Cage does it.
That's right. No sideburns, though.
Yeah.
Like a Nicolas Cage.
Put on sideburns?
No, he has no sideburns. Oh. That was his deal. That, yes. That's what we have discussed in past episodes. He has no sideburns and a piece.
Because you need to have something to integrate your piece into. Yeah. It just can't be like rug.
Yeah, it can't be smooth. Like Friar Tuck.
Yeah. Or it could be. Or it could be. So we are now back in our celebrity corner. I will be performing Discount Celebrity. Would you like to explain what that is?
Yes, Discount Celebrity is where you're making a movie and you want your A-list actor, but you cannot afford such a person. So we offer you a B, C, D list so you can stay within your budget.
Yeah. So I've got, this is a suggestion from, I already forgot, Sylvia B.
Sylvia B wrote in.
Yes. Yeah, Sylvia B and her husband are regular loyal listeners. And Sylvia B has provided us with a segment. And she's got two actresses that she's giving me here. And I'm saying that they're serving each other at no discount. They are completely interchangeable. They are so... Sylvia has found two people who are just perfect.
They are neck and neck.
They are neck
they
and neck.
They are hard.
So I'll start off with, with Elizabeth Shue, only because I knew who she was.
Okay, Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue. So Elizabeth Shue was born...
And also, we did a show on, and we were talking about Elizabeth Shue. And
yeah,
we were like, we need a discount. Then this came out of the blue.
She delivered. So Elizabeth Shue was born in 1963 in the glorious state of Delaware.
Oof.
Yeah. Elizabeth Judson Shue.
Judson.
Nickname Lisa, and she is 5'2", 1.57 meters. That's 2 inches taller than me.
Really?
She's very small. It says here, and this is a weird mini
biography. That's why she was with Ralph Macchio in Karate Kid.
Probably. Mm. Her mini biography is, being born into a well-established and well-educated family doesn't necessarily mean much.
No.
Usually.
You mean getting ahead of the game in a big way?
But
doesn't
usually
mean
when
anything?
Someone's writing a celebrity's biography, it starts off light.
Yeah.
It starts off nice.
Heavy-handed compliments. Yeah. That's what I like to
Despite
read.
Such family accolades. Shue's parents are divorced while she was in the fourth grade.
Ooh.
And it says that they got into trouble. She and her brother, who's also an actor, Andrew Shue. And then she went to Wellesley and that kept her out of trouble. But doesn't say what she did.
She and her brother just got into all kinds of mischief.
In their suburban neighborhood.
Well, you can't do much except maybe get into some crack, but I don't think crack was even invented then.
No, I don't think there was crack around then. So it says during her studies at Wellesley, she got a little extra money by doing acting and commercials. She did commercials for Burger King.
All right.
For the Beers, the Blood Diamond people, before we knew it. And then Hellman's.
Blood Diamond people.
And then in 1984, as you said, she was in Karate Kid as Ralph Macchio's girlfriend. Now, what is he doing? Anybody?
Dancing with the Stars. Well, he did that.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's it. That pretty much means you're washed up, though, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And then she was a...
But I still like it.
That's fine.
They're moving their bodies. It's awesome.
I feel like it's a weird, like a 50s show, though. Do you feel like it's like in a time warp?
Yeah, the Dancing with the Stars is kind of like the variety show of the 70s.
Yeah. Well, they just had to get out there and work to pay bills.
Yeah.
She also played a teenage daughter in Call to Glory. I think that was on for like a hot minute.
Okay.
And then she transferred to Harvard where she was going to study political science. And she thought she was going to be a lawyer. But then she got more into acting. She went on to do Adventures in Babysitting.
I love that movie.
I remember.
I love that.
Cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
Soap Dish.
Mm-hmm.
The Marrying Man. And then at the same time, her brother got into Melrose Place.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes. And that show exploded.
She wasn't doing much of anything, and then she got cast in Leaving Las Vegas, which I love.
Remember that? Now, I was disturbed with that.
Yeah, but she was really good.
She was good.
Opposite Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
And Julian Sands as a pimp.
You had to get that in there.
Because, any reason to mention Billy Zane or Julian Sands, I feel like I got to do it.
You're right.
Otherwise, they don't get a mention.
I'm not going to take away that.
Yeah, they don't get a mention anywhere. And then she was in Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon.
That another disturbing movie.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Bacon. It's like, why? Such an unsympathetic character if there ever was one.
Yeah. Like, when you have the ability to be invisible, do you just gotta grab a nipple? Like,
yeah, right. He raped.
Yeah,
he did that.
And he
yeah.
raped a woman. It's like, really?
Is that your number one thing to do?
Yeah.
I mean, God.
So she's married to Davis Guggenheim, who is a famous producer. He did... Deadwood, The Defenders, Inconvenient Truth, Waiting for Superman, and he comes from a family of documentarians.
Really?
So she married into a very wealthy, well-connected family, and ain't much come out of it.
Well, maybe she's just comfortable. Maybe, she lost that eye of the tiger.
Well, she used to be kind of the girl next door, mm-hmm. and her quote about herself is, some people say I'm the girl. I may look like the girl next door, but you wouldn't want to live next door to me.
I do.
She's like kind of a tough girl. She has a daughter.
All right.
Born in 2001. She auditioned for a role of Mice and Men. That went to Sherilyn Fenn. She was supposed to be in Number 23 with Jim Carrey, but she got pregnant. She seems to have a lot of misses. She was going to be in Say Anything, but they decided to go with someone else instead.
I wish they went with Elizabeth Shue. That would have been much better.
Well. Yeah. And she was supposed to be, she replaced someone, Claudia Wells, as Jennifer Parker and Michael J. Fox as Michael J. Fox's girlfriend in the Back to the Futures.
Wow.
Number 2 and 3.
Wow.
So that was kind of a break for her. Another quote she says is about Cocktail, the movie. If I had known it was just going to be about these guys throwing drinks around, then I might have had some second thoughts.
Good for her.
So she looks like the girl next door, but as we've seen from her performances, she likes to play characters that have a little more meat on them.
Some substance. Yeah. And she can do it, too.
Right now, what
she has... She's a good inner life.
Yeah.
That was my acting.
My acting teachers.
Where is your inner life, Chiquetta?
Yeah, it's not in this class.
I have shark eyes for this class.
She has, right now, coming up, Elizabeth Shue has Chasing Mavericks. It's with Gerard Butler. That's good.
Okay.
And Johnny Weston. When a young man, Jay Moriarty, discovers the mythic Maverick surf break, one of the biggest waves on Earth.
What?
He enlists the help of local legend Frosty Heston to train him. And help him. So it sounds like a porn.
Yeah, Frosty.
That Frosty Heston.
Got to thaw that.
Jay Moriarty in The Mavericks. Also, 2013, a comedy. I could find nothing about it. It's called Feed the Dog with Selena Gomez, Elizabeth Shue, and Heather Graham.
No.
Heather Graham's a scene killer.
Okay.
And then.
Yeah. Heather Graham is like a, yeah.
She casts like a pall on whatever she does. She goes to a supermarket. Like, she casts a pall on the fruit.
She's always like 2 beats behind everybody and getting it.
Yeah.
Right?
In 2013, she's going to be in a Western called The Hard Ride. Oof. Action and death follow a legendary gunfighter and his close friends in 1876 Deadwood with Val Kilmer.
Oh, they're going to rejoin.
Yes. And Elizabeth Shue, rumored. So I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
Ooh.
It's a rumor.
All right, tantalize us.
And then right now she's in this the house at the end of the street, which is like one of those horror movies where there's a dead white kid in the house somewhere. You know, those are that genre, dead white kid. So that's Elizabeth Shue.
Okay, and who do we have as the discount?
The discount
Sylvia, I can't wait to see what you brought us.
Maria Bello.
Oh.
Who I didn't know that much, but then when I started to look into her, I realized who she was. She was born in 1967. In Norristown, PA. She's 5'5".
Oh, 3 inches.
Yeah, 3 inches, 1.65 meters. She went to Villanova to be a lawyer.
Oh,
see,
get out.
But took acting in her senior year, and then she was hooked. I bet her parents were very excited. Very excited.
Oh, I bet they were.
She did some small parts on Broadway, and then she got roles in TV shows like The Commish and Due South, like as supporting cast members. Then she got cast in the failed Mr. and Mrs. Smith TV show. And then finally in 1994, she got a spot on ER.
Oh.
In the last 3 episodes of like season 3. And they liked her so much, they made her a recurring character.
No kidding.
So
okay.
That was kind of her big break. She practices Muay Thai.
Oh.
She says she had always wanted to be an action heroine, but gave up her dream 2 weeks before she turned 40 because she thought there would be no roles. And then she got cast in The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon.
Oh, okay.
She says, so many actors say you have to find something you like in each character. I've never bought that.
Yeah.
I think there are people in the world who are playing mean. Not many, but some.
You don't have to like them. You have to find something sympathetic about them that somebody else is going to be like, well, you know.
She ain't going to do it.
She won't.
Maria Bello marches to her own tune.
All right.
She's really good friends with Mariska Hargitay.
Okay.
And Carrie Ann Moss, who plays Trinity in the Matrix.
That's a good group.
Yeah.
What fun? Do you think they're fun?
I would imagine that the three of those women probably get up to some tasteful white wine.
Okay.
Every once in a while. She's married to a TV executive.
Oh, good Lord.
I know. They don't mess around. They don't mess around. But the really interesting thing about her is she's an activist. So while she was at Villanova, she majored in peace and justice education, and she worked for the Women's Law Project. And she does a lot with working with women in Darfur, working with women in Haiti, and she's extremely active, like going down to Capitol Hill, campaigning, like constantly doing stuff. So she's really, really out there as an activist. And that's probably why she isn't doing as much film work.
Well, she's doing something meaningful. Yeah,
she's having a meaningful conversation.
Yeah. No.
She was in as Abduction, A Beautiful Boy, Company Men, The Mummy, Jane Austen Book Club, World Trade Center, Thank You for Smoking, History of Violence, Coyote Ugly.
Oh, yeah, right. She was like, hey there, Jersey.
Yeah.
That was her.
TV shows, she's prime suspect, of course. She born in Brooklyn, ER, Due South, I mentioned, Misery Loves Company. And she's done a lot of stage work. What she has coming up now is it's kind of interesting. In 2012, Wild Oats.
All right.
With Jack Black. And she is rumored to be in it. And John Voight's in it. So they better hurry up. It's about a retired widow who hits the jackpot when she receives a Social Security check that's made out for $900,000 instead of
$900,000.
Uh-huh. Another one she's going to be
They're never
going
to catch it either. Yeah.
Grown Ups 2 is coming out next year.
Ew. They already squeezed
Adam Sandler.
I know. They already
Chris
did the whole
Rock,
story.
Andy Samberg, Maya Rudolph, Steve Buscemi. And she's playing the wife of Kevin James. So kind of a Family Guy situation with ugly husband and a hot wife.
Right.
And then that's what she has coming up. So I think these ladies are both smart. They're about something. They married guys who could help them out with their careers.
Yeah.
But doesn't seem to be helping them out too much. So it's not all about just using those guys as a stepping stone. They're both attractive, blonde women, quite petite. And I think that they play very involved, complicated characters.
Yeah.
I'd say you could swap them out.
You can swap them out, but Elizabeth Shue is just higher profile, and she's helmed those movies, so she's got to be the A-lister.
You're going to give her the A-lister?
Yeah, I'm going to give her the A.
So we'll say that, 90%.
90?
Yeah, Maria Bello. She's really got some chops.
She does have the chops, but she just doesn't have the FaceTime with America.
She's got Haiti. She's working on that. Yeah, give her some percentage for that.
All right. Okay. All right. I would have said 80, but now with Haiti, I'm going to say 90.
90%.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Sylvia B.
That was a good one.
Yeah, you saved me a good hour this week of trying to find some discount celebrities.
It was wonderful.
So we don't have any...
Yeah, we do.
We do? Oh.
Yeah, now we're still in Celebrity Corner. We're going to trot on over to The Week and Jason Bateman.
Yeah, I thought The Week and Bateman was an empty corner this week, but Katie's come through.
Yeah.
Jason Bateman is an actor who we started saying that we respect him. We find his work decent. And we just like to keep people abreast of what he's up to.
Yeah, we're not in love with him, and we're not sexually attracted to him.
No, how could we be? All right, what do you have? What do you have today?
It says Jason Bateman, Zac Efron, Goldie Hawn, Leslie Mann, this is where I leave you.
What's that mean?
It's a movie called This Is Where I Leave You.
Okay.
And they're all going to be in it.
And that's the news.
That's the news.
What kind of movie is it?
Okay. Adam Shankman directed adaptation of a comic novel about four siblings who come home to sit Shiva for their deceased father.
I have to say, that is my favorite name, Shankman.
Shankman.
I love Shankman.
They are trapped to the house for 7 days and all the skeletons are bared.
That sounds like a fun, fun film.
Good Lord. So death, keeping things, getting real with each other.
Getting real close.
Yeah.
And so Jason Bateman is playing a Jewish guy in this.
Yeah. And Goldie Hawn's going to be the mama.
Okay. Well, Goldie Hawn is Jewish.
Yeah. She's half Jewish.
Yes. The good half. The half that's important.
Yeah. And I guess he's going to be sisters with Leslie Mann.
Okay.
Zac Efron is the son.
Zac Efron kind of looks like Jason Bateman's son.
Yeah, that's why he's playing his son.
But how old is he?
I would say 20. I'm guessing.
He's that young? Okay.
He's one of those.
All right.
He played the young Matthew Perry in 17 again.
Oh, okay. So maybe he is. Maybe he's younger than I think he is. Because he's been around for a while.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's what's happening.
Nice. So any idea about when that's going to come out?
Nope. Nobody wants to talk about when it's going to come out. They're just saying it's drawing a lot of interest from a lot of talent and other stars expected to step up for roles in the ensemble.
Rumored.
So they're trying to get,
they're trying to cut the pie up even more. Yeah. Everyone's going to get half a mil. Yeah. And they're going to have to be happy with that.
That's the week of Jason Bateman.
Yeah, good for Jason Bateman. I see he's going in the direction that we said he should.
He should, and he's
listening
to us.
With more serious work. So I suspect that we have some listener reviews. We have like 23 reviews now.
I know. I know. I have one here. So this is on iTunes. You can leave a listener review, and if it's a 5-star review, we will read it.
Yeah. If it's a 4-star review, we won't even look at it. We want nothing to do with that.
This one, it starts out, Super by QT Pie.
Oh, nice.
This is an excellent podcast. These ladies are funny. Their comedy is clever and original. A must listen.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And if you sent us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com and give us your address, we will send you a Hey You Know It shot glass.
Yes, and we will not share your address with anyone. We don't know who we'd share it with.
Yeah, and we don't keep it on file.
No.
We're not going to say it on the
air. We don't have any files. We got nothing. I'm very excited this week because yet another Resident Evil is out.
Oh, okay.
And I love to see Mila Jovovich kick ass.
I like her.
She's cool.
Yeah.
I think she's very cool. This is like...
I think she has substance.
Resident Evil 5 or 6.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And I'm very excited to see her kick a butt in 3D. So yeah. Maybe, hopefully I'll have something to report on that. Hopefully it's not like...
Maybe
total
we'll go
recall.
Back to movies in a minute.
Yeah.
And try that again.
Well, movies in a minute for that would be Mila Jovovich comes on, kicks butt.
That's it.
That's the end of the movie. That's the end of the movie. Okay. So would you like to close out?
I will. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com and go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review and we will read it on the show regardless of content. And do so. Send us your address and we'll give you a Hey You Know It shot glass.
Yeah.
FOC.
I like how I nod along.
Yeah.
Even though you can't hear it.
Yeah, tut, sigh, and moan, complain like it was an Olympic event.
Tut. Ah, sucking teeth.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you guys say. All right. That's the white translation of sucking teeth is tut.
Okay.
I just found out. Yeah. We think it's actually going tut, tut, because we believe that's what white people do. That's what it is.
I don't know if anyone has tutted since.
It's in cartoons.
Caddyshack.
Yeah.
And that's like, what's his name? Ted Knight did it. Tut, tut.
Tut, tut.
That's it. Then it stopped. It began and stopped.
Based on that, black people were like, see, it's in one of their films. They're doing it. And one of the upstanding members of the film is doing tut, tut. It's sucking of teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, black America, you heard it here first.
All right.
It's sucking of teeth.
I'm glad to bring that to you.
I learned something new today.
Ooh.